Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Psalm 48 is what we are looking at right now. It is part of Book 2 of Psalms that we're looking at, which is Psalms 42 through 72. And here is an interesting psalm. This is one of the psalms that talk about the city, how the king, the great king, the aspect of the king in relationship to his kingdom. And this psalm specifically talks about how the king is related to his city. And this is an interesting thing, that hence the title, The City of the King. And so this is what we're going to look at today, because it is here in the city of the king that he displays, that he lives and where he reigns from. It is here where he protects and provides for his people. And Psalm 48 does an amazing job of describing this relationship and this role of the king, and how the city is blessed and protected by the king as he reigns over the city. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to see how the city on Mount Zion, which we understand to be Jerusalem, the city on Mount Zion mentioned in this psalm actually points to an even greater city. And we're going to see all of the connections that we see in that. And that because if you are in Christ, one day you are going to enjoy being a resident of that city as well. So, Psalm 48, we're going to look at it. This is also a song written by the sons of Korah. It's actually a song of joy. This is kind of a song. That song is talking about a song of joy. And as you read this psalm, let its words stir your heart so that you can also respond with joy and adoration to your king. To your king, in the same way that they sang their songs of joy for God and how he protected them. All right, let's read it together. Psalm 48, we're going to look at, we're going to kind of go through the psalm as we go through this psalm, and then we're going to look at it a few verses at a time. All right, let's look at verses 1 through 3 first. It says this: Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Great is the Lord, is what Psalm says. Great is the Lord. All of those who are in the presence of the king, in the care of the great king, they can't help but proclaim the goodness and the holiness of God towards them, the goodness of God towards them. Those who gaze on this city are in awe of its magnificence and its splendor. They're like, oh my goodness, this is so beautiful, so amazing. And it is from this city that joy spreads throughout the whole earth. It's just like flowing out of the city and giving joy to the whole earth. It is this place, this city, where the king lives. And here in this city, the people find refuge in him. He's known to them. Why is that? Because he chooses to be with them. His presence is with them. He's part of their lives. And in doing so, it gives them assurance and confidence, knowing that the great king is their refuge. So for those within the city of the king, those who belong to him, we see that joy, we see that peace, right? It's amazing, it's awesome. But not everybody sees him in that way. There are those outside of the city who come in hopes of overtaking the king and taking control of the city. For those who are trying to attack the city, to overtake the city, we see a very different perspective of the king and his city. Let's take a look at it. Verse 4 and through verse 7, we kind of see this other kind of perspective that is waiting for those who are trying to take over. For lo, verse 4 says, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They made an alliance together. They gathered themselves together. They saw it. They saw the city. And so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. This is the psalmist describing how those in opposition to the great king of Jerusalem, they gather together to form an alliance against the king, right? They're coming together and they're coming together to attack the city, to overthrow the king. They came, they saw, but they did not conquer. In fact, far from it. Instead, they came, they saw, they marveled, they freaked out and they ran in. Isn't that interesting? They came, they marveled. Oh my goodness, look at this thing. And then they were troubled. Fear took hold of them. Instead of them overtaking the city, fear overtook them and they fled for their very lives. Ultimately, the very one who came to destroy the city were themselves destroyed by the king who protected the city. And that ships of Tarshish describes their destruction. They themselves were broken and destroyed like the ships were dashed against the rocks in a terrible storm. The overcomers were overcome. This city is protected. There is nothing. It is immovable, protected by the great king. You can see that confidence and the protection that the king gives to those who are in the city. Man, if you were in that city, how would you respond? How would you be, oh my goodness, look, oh, we're protected. Those, we thought we were dead for sure, but the king took care of us. Verse 8 says this, as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. It was as we have heard, so have we seen. I love that. It was just like our forefathers had told us long ago. As we have heard them tell their story of how God protected them and how God took care of them, so have we seen with our very eyes the great army, captained by the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the commander of the great army, our king. He scattered his enemies, and we were there. We got to see it. As we have heard from our forefathers, so we were seen. They're not just stories that we hear anymore. They're stories that we get to tell to our children and to their children. These stories are our stories. And they are awesome stories because we've seen the power and the protection of our great king. Now, we have no doubt that our king will reign and establish his city forever. And it ends with the word Selah. Think about that. Remember when we see that Selah, it's like stop. Pause for a second. Look at the words that are being spoken and meditate on them. Chew on them for a little bit and then respond with joy and praise for the truth that they bring to us, right? And this is what they did. This is how the people in this city responded. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, 10, and 11 says this. Let's see. Look at verse 9 real quick here. It's okay. It's all good. We're not in any hurry. We'll get there. Boom, there we are. Verse 9 says this, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. This is so cool. I love this. Remember the Selah, stop, think, remind yourself of the truths of this, of the words. This is literally what they did. We have thought. We have taken time to think of thy loving kindness. We choose to make our thoughts fully on you for your loving kindness towards us. Our thoughts are on you, but it isn't just our thoughts. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. We are in the middle of your dwelling place, in the middle of your temple. Not only are our thoughts on you, but also our presence itself will be with you. We want to be where you are. Love that. And in all honesty, why wouldn't we, right? I mean, here in the presence of the King, this is where we see firsthand His goodness and His loving kindness and His protection on us. Here at His right hand is where we see His righteousness, His righteous justice as He cares for His people, not only from without, but also within. This is the care of the great King. And the people who are in the city, those who are the citizens of this city, respond in this way. Oh, our King, we love thinking about how good you are to us. We love being where you are in your care and in your protection. And the psalm closes with this invitation. It says in verse 12 and 13, I love this. Verse 12 says, walk about Zion. Go round about her, tell or count the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. We're given the invitation to explore the city. Go check it out, go take a look. Find the excitement of seeing all these little ways and discovering the hidden treasures of God's promises. Go check out the towers, see how they protect you. Go look around at the city's defenses to see how well they defend you. Go explore the palaces to see the majesty of the King and how it is displayed. And then go tell your kids what they've discovered so that they can find those same discoveries themselves. It's like, kind of like, man, when I think of this, I can't help but think of Disneyland. You know how you go into Disneyland? And Disneyland, one of the interesting things that sets apart Disneyland from all of the other amusement parks is all of the, not just the rides, but all of the different little discoveries that you find while you're either walking down through the park or standing in line. You're looking around at all the different scenes and you discover these little interesting things. One of those things that are discovered are called hidden Mickeys. And if you've ever been to Disneyland, you'll find these hidden Mickeys just scattered throughout. You'll find them on a random wall, just a little thing that looks like it's like an indentation. But if you look at it closer, it actually looks like a hidden Mickey. And all these things. So you're looking around, always looking for all these little hidden Mickeys, right? This is literally what the people in the city are doing, looking for the hidden Mickeys of God's glory. This is what they're talking about here. And so the King of Jerusalem is saying, look around. See if you can find these little discoveries of things that I have put in this city to remind you of my care for you, of my protection for you. This is what he says for us to do. And so we get this joy of random wow moments. Oh man, look at this. This is amazing. This is what our King has done for us. Oh wow, this is amazing. These little wow moments of seeing and discovering the goodness of the King in his care of the city. And here's the interesting thing. Even in this last verse, we see a hidden Mickey, a hidden discovery of a wow moment. And that verse is this. Here's what it says, because it's actually pointing to something much more interesting than just the city of Jerusalem there in Israel. Verse 14 says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Here's the thing about this city. We're going to discover in book 3 of Psalms that Jerusalem, the city of David, does not last forever and ever. And there's a reason for that. The city of David, the Jerusalem there, was never meant to be the city that lasts forever. The role of the city of David was not to be the city of the King who reigns forever. The city of David was meant to point us to the city that would be the eternal city of the King who reigns forever. See, the city of David, The old city of Jerusalem was simply a means to point us to the city of the King who reigns forever. It's just like how we've seen over and over through the Psalms, like the sacrifices of the priests, and even the priests themselves point to a greater sacrifice and a greater priest. And like we saw last week, the King of Israel points to an even greater king. So also the city of Jerusalem points us to an even greater city that displays the coming king's glory in magnificent ways. This was the hidden Mickey, the discovery that the New Testament writers came upon and discovered and saw. And then they started sharing their story with us of what they have discovered, because it gives them a fresh perspective of the city. And they saw that through their time with Jesus. As they spent time with Jesus, things started to make sense to them. And the Holy Spirit helped them to see the things that they can now understand that they wouldn't have understood if they hadn't been with Jesus. Jesus literally gave them a fresh, new Disneyland hidden Mickey that they had never noticed before. What did these New Testament writers discover about that Jerusalem that pointed them to an even greater city? Well, let's take a look. Hebrews 12 is where we're going to start. Hebrews 12, verse 22 says this, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion." That's the city. Here's the Mount Zion, the city of the north, the city, the city of the great king that we saw in Psalm 48, right? "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." It says the heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 23, "to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." The city of the king was not just the Jerusalem that they saw here on earth. It was the heavenly Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? I love that. It was a city that they could not touch. And yet one day the great king is going to establish the great city that the city of David had been pointing to all along. And as believers, we get to be part of it. Look at what it says now in verse 28, just a few verses down. "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptingly with reverence and godly fear." We get to be part of this new kingdom. This new city will be for us. In Revelation, John, the disciple of Jesus, got to see this future city as a vision, right? Listen to how he describes it. Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, just as the city of Jerusalem had passed away, and the city that the psalmist had written. So also the earth and the heavens point us to a new earth and a new heaven. And I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Pause right there, because I want to show something interesting. In the days of the New Testament writers, it was a heavenly Jerusalem, there in the heavens, waiting to come down to earth as the new city. And in John, in this vision of the future, he sees that new Jerusalem coming down to the new heavens and the new earth. And the city of the great king will be here with us. Verse 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4 says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Boy, does that not sound amazing? Boy, does that not sound awesome? Just like it says in Psalm 48, the whole earth finds great joy because of the great king of this coming city, this new Jerusalem, right? You may be wondering though, well, time out, Steve. I'm seeing this new Jerusalem and old Jerusalem and how the Israelites were praising God for their city of Jerusalem. And now he's talking about the new Jerusalem. This is more of an aspect of Israel and their city, isn't it? I know I'm a believer in Jesus, but I don't know that I'm really connected to that Jerusalem, am I? And the truth is that what is true for the city is also true for the citizens of that city. Do you not agree? What is true for the city, what makes up a city, are the citizens. The Apostle Paul shows us the hidden Mickey of our connection to this city. Let me show you in Ephesians 2. It says this. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12 first. It says this, "Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Here in this section, Paul is saying, listen, back in the day, those who were Jews called you who were not Jews, the uncircumcision. There was a split. There was a wall. There was enmity between you two. There was no connection. You look at that and like, ah, see, told you. This doesn't have anything to do with us, does it, Pastor Steve? The actual truth is, if you keep reading in verse 13, it says this. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes at one time far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Verse 14, "For he is our peace," as in the Jews and the Gentiles. He is the one who brings peace to us, who hath made both one. Jews and Gentiles are one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And look at verse 19. We're going to jump down a few verses because it keeps talking about that. And then verse 19, it says this, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners." You're not outsiders who look at the Jews in their new Jerusalem. You are fellow citizens. We are part of this city, part of this kingdom with the saints and of the household of God. My friend, if you have put your faith in Jesus, if you have put your trust in the sacrifice of his shed blood for the remission of your sins, one day, just like it says in Psalm 48, "As we have heard, so we have seen the city of our great King." You will be one who lives in the presence of your eternal King. This is your home. Praise God for that. How exciting. So knowing that this is your future, knowing that you are a citizen of the new Jerusalem, God himself being present with you in that city, let me challenge you to respond in the same way that those in the old Jerusalem responded, as we saw in verse 9 of Psalm 48, where it says this, "We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple." Let's let our thoughts be centered on our King. Let us think about him, meditate on him. Let our joy, let our praise, let our meditations be fully focused on him. Let our actions, our presence be centered on our great King. Let our time, let our energy, let our goals, let our actions be centered on our great King. Let us respond in the same way by sila'ing the truths of this great thought, that the old Jerusalem, while it may have passed away, new Jerusalem will be immovable. It will not fade away. It will not pass away. It will be forever the King's great city. And we will be citizens of that city. You, me, and all our brothers and sisters who have put our trust in Jesus Christ, the one who has redeemed us. For that, we can have great joy. For that, we can be confident in the protection and the care of our King. Knowing that, this week, make your thoughts on your King. Put your thoughts, your hope, and your joy, and your praises. Be focused in on the King in whose presence you get to be in. There's no better place to be than where you are in the presence of the King. So while we wait for the new Jerusalem to come down, we as a church in whose presence God exists right now, we are His temple. We are His presence right now. Remember that. And find great joy that you are even now in the presence of your King. You don't have to wait for New Jerusalem. He's there with you now. So find your joy in Him. Find your hope in Him. Find your confidence in Him and your refuge in Him. Knowing that, walk each day in full trust and confidence, responding with your thoughts on Him and your actions on Him as you live throughout the day. Boy, isn't that good? Psalm 48, what a great reminder. We are the city of the great King. One day, as His citizens, we will be in the New Jerusalem, fully in His presence. Oh, what an amazing thing that's going to be. That's our future. That's something to be fully confident in. That's something to look forward to and enjoy right now, isn't it? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for giving us this amazing opportunity. We who had no hope, who had no assurance, because of you and only because you came to us to rescue us, to bring us in as your own, give us a new citizenship in the most amazing city that there ever will be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for rescuing us and making us yours. There are no words that are good enough in thankfulness for what you have done for us. So take our meager thanks, please, and just accept it. And for that, we thank you. And help our eyes and our thoughts and our actions to be focused in and centered in, to be sila'ing on the truth of this great psalm that reminds us that we are citizens of that great city. And thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.